Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today on a glorious day. Well, it's not very often we can say that, so we will say that really loudly today. Welcome as we come to worship on a glorious day and to worship a glorious Saviour. He is risen and he is alive. It's not simply an Easter declaration. It's a declaration that we can make each and every day of our lives. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you're the God who holds us and the God who comforts us, the God who sustains us and the God who gives us life. In this moment, as we set time aside to be with you and to focus on you, we pray that by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word, gathered in this place, we might leave transformed and renewed and refreshed by you and for you. For your glory and for your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. So whether you join us in person or online, we bid you a warm welcome today.
This morning's reading is taken from 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The incarnation of the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Colin. So we begin a new series today, Light in the Darkness. And this is really, I suppose, what the church is called to be, a light in the darkness. We often describe the world around us as getting an increasingly darker place. Our culture seems to be pushing everything to do with God out. And so we are called to be that light that shines, the truth that strengthens, the love that changes, and the assurance that holds. This book of 1 John was written to strengthen the church, to strengthen the believers, to give them confidence, and the same today, to give us confidence. And also to give clarity in confusing times, and we'll see that as we walk through this book, and that this book of 1 John brings clarity into times that are confusing, and we certainly live in those times. So across these 7 weeks, we're going to explore how to walk on the light. What does it actually mean to walk on the light, and how do we do that? We're going to practice confession and obedience. What does that actually mean? I know we do that in our liturgies every single Sunday, but how do we do that on a daily basis? How do we practice confession and obedience? How do we love each other in tangible and in real ways? How do we test what we are taught by its view of Jesus and who he is? And that's an important one, and we'll see that in a few weeks' time, testing what we have been taught which is odd whenever I'm the one standing at the front doing the teaching and telling you to test it. But that's what the scriptures tell us to do. But above all, over these weeks, we're going to look at how we live with the assurance of eternal life, how that brings hope and light into our world. We recognize genuine faith. We resist any deception that might be given to us. And we grow in that Christ-likeness that we are called to do. So let's pray as we look at this. Father God, as we still our hearts and our minds today, as we come before your holy word, we pray that the presence of your Holy Spirit in this place would guide us, lead us, convict us, challenge us, change us, encourage us, that you would be about your business, we pray. Be your word and not mine that speaks depth into our very being. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the little lines I read as I was preparing for today was that 1 John enables joy-filled fellowship. I love that wee phrase, joy-filled fellowship. Joy is the infectious part of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and so forth. But joy is the infectious bit. Whenever you walk into a room and somebody has joy, no matter what their circumstances are, it rubs off on you. It's the same as whenever a child begins to giggle or to laugh. It rubs off around the room. Everybody starts smiling and giggling and laughing. Joy is very similar to that. And I'm glad to say that there's a lot of that in this fellowship, in this church, and we want to encourage that and grow more of that. But as we heard Colin reading that for us today, those first few verses of 1 John chapter 1 show us that we believe that John was the eyewitness to Jesus' resurrection. And that's foundational truth in what we believe as Christians. We don't believe in a God who is dead or carved from wood or stone made by human hands today sitting on a mantelpiece. He's not a prophet who once lived and is now dead or a really good teacher who taught and now died. He died and he rose again. He's alive today. That is the foundational truth that makes Christianity stand out from all other world religions. And what John writes here to strengthen the church is from someone who saw that firsthand. But we also know that Christianity through the centuries means that we are rooted in this incarnate God, in this incarnate Jesus. He is real. He is true. And we hold very tightly to that today. Verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it, we testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was the Father and has appeared to us. That's foundational. That's where everything else gets built upon. If you go back into the Gospels, you can see and hear and read how Jesus appeared to over 500 people after his resurrection. You see how he bodily ate and made breakfast on the beach for his disciples. This eyewitness account of John encouraging, urging, pushing the church forward. And notice he does this at the very beginning. And if you go on and read all the way, and 1 John's not a long book, okay? So I encourage you to go and read it all the way through. And as we then come back week by week and look at it, you will see actually he does this at the very beginning to set the foundation because he knows that he is about to write some very difficult things to the church. And there'll be moments where he will chastise the church. There'll be moments where he will call them back to their first love, if you like. And so he says, look, all of this is built on this foundation. This is where we start. Everything else then comes after it. And so there was a level of trust with John. They knew him. They trusted him. And they knew that whatever came after this, they needed to listen to. God is as a phrase, if you've been about church any length of time, you'll have heard before, God is light. And he brings light into the darkness. That defines his character. It truth, holiness, clarity. Look at verse 5 of 1 John. This is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. And so John is using those very illustrative moments of light and darkness, of light being the times that we see God, we walk with God, we are with God, and darkness being the times whenever we are straying away from him, where we're allowing the world and the culture to influence us. We're allowing the devil and his wicked ways to draw us away from the light. Now, we all know in Northern Ireland that we have a number of lights in our house. But if you want to see something, you tell somebody to put on what? The big light, don't you? Go and put the big light on so that I can see. And what John's really saying, if he was Northern Irish, is Jesus is the big light. It's through Jesus we see everything else. Because light dispels the darkness. I remember whenever I was a teenager, I know a few years ago now, but whenever I was a teenager and doing my Duke of Edinburgh in the Antrim Hills, part of a BB who went to do the Duke of Edinburgh, and we were doing one of our practice expeditions, and so there was a whole massive group of us out together doing the practice expedition, maybe 15 to 18 of us all together. And I remember in the middle of one night, we were woken up by one of our leaders and told that we had to get up, get our boots on, get dressed, get our torches, our maps and our compasses, because we were going to learn how to do night navigation. Because if we ever needed to get out of our campsite in the middle of the night, we needed to know how to do it. So we all duly got up, put our clothes on, boots on, torches and maps, and he's standing explaining, shine your torch in the map so that you can see it. Everybody shine their torch in the map so we can see it. Get your compass out. Now you want to go to this particular point. Here's how you're going to try to find it. Now you want to shine your torches up. Everybody shine your torches over that way so you can try to pick something out. So we're all 18 or whatever torches all shining towards this stone wall. And as we shone the torch towards the stone wall and the leader standing beside us explaining how to do things in the middle of the night, from up behind the wall comes a man with a hoodie all the way down around his face and a big stick yelling at us as he came over the top of the stone wall. So we all started running because we're all like 14. So we all starts running up the hill out of the way, screaming and shouting and then petrified in complete fear. And then one of us, and I can't remember who it was, one of us shouted, hold on a minute, in good Ballymena phrase, hold on a minute, there's only one of them and there's about 15 of us. In that instant, we all stopped, turned and ran down the hill and jumped on the man with the hoodie. At which point the leader says, we're screaming for us to get off the other man who was supposed to be attacking us, but he actually turned out to be one of the other leaders trying to scare us and play a prank on us. But it was, I think it was the last time he ever did that. But there was a moment in the middle of that darkness where all of those torches shone a light and we were able to see something. And as we shine a light, as we take the lens caps off, and as we shine lights into the darkness in our faith and our foundation of who Jesus is, the darkness will dispel and we will see it for what it is. Walking in the light means that we have integrity. We are who we say we are. There's no hidden life. There's no double standards. We're not one person on a Sunday in church and another person in work on a Monday. We're not one person whenever we're with our friends and another person whenever we're at home. We're not one person in school and a different person in our youth club. Because often who we are in the quiet moments can be the person who we truly are. I know there was periods in my life in the quiet moments where I didn't quite like who I was, but I knew that God was showing me who I was and what I needed to do to change, to become the person he intended me to be. We can put on a face and pretend, but this is not the environment for that. We shouldn't pretend whenever we come into this environment This environment should be a place, this church should be a place where we encourage each other, where we hold each other up, a place where whenever we need help, we can ask for it and we receive it. A place where authentic relationships happen, flourish and grow, and that's what the book of 1 John encourages us to do. That already happens here, but it can always happen more. One of the other key things in this first passage today is that of confession. And I hinted at that at the beginning. Confession is something that we do every single Sunday in our liturgy. But what John is talking about is much, much more than that. Confession is the pathway to freedom. Whenever we come before God and we bear our souls before Him, whenever we acknowledge, because remember, He already knows. Whenever we acknowledge the things that we have done wrong, whenever we have sinned, and sin being anything that we think, say, or do that displeases God, whenever we acknowledge that before Him, there can be moments of release and freedom within us as we receive His forgiveness, His mercy, and His love. And so it's more than simply reciting a few words on a Sunday. Even though it's good to do collectively as a church, confession and repentance is key to our Christian walk and our daily living. John says in verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and He will forgive us our sins and He will purify us from all unrighteousness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we've made Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. It is what happened at Easter. It is Jesus' death on a cross, His once complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. It is that act that enables us to receive the forgiveness that we need, and only that act. No matter how good James Boyd is, no matter how good James Boyd thinks he is, no matter how good many good deeds James Boyd does, that will not forgive him of his sins. It is only the sacrifice of a Savior. That's why John says in chapter 2, verse 1, my dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. He is our advocate. He is the one who stands on our behalf. He pays the price for what I've done wrong, what you've done wrong. He argues our case. And he says, hold on a minute. He is one of mine. They know me and I know them. And I have washed them clean. And that assurance of sins forgiven and life eternal comes and grows as we practice our daily living. As we practice it out in our daily living. It's not about we have to change absolutely everything now from this moment forward. We come as we are. And the change happens. Often we imagine that we need to change before we can come to Jesus. Not only for forgiveness, not only for salvation, but for His purpose and His life in us. I heard it described recently a bit like this. You don't clean yourself before you go into the shower to get ready for the shower. You don't try to clean yourself up before you come to Jesus. Jesus is the one who does the cleansing, the renewing, and the washing. So you don't need to wait until you feel worthy to receive all that he has for you. Bring your real self, the person that you are when you're alone, and walk into the light. Confess what is wrong, receive his forgiveness, and begin to walk in newfound freedom that will develop and grow every single day. Let's pray together. Lord, help us. Help us to know you, to see you, but also give us courage to walk in the light towards you. As we do so, may the darkness around us be dispelled, and the true light of your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your salvation, and your purpose shine upon each one of us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as we close today, we hear some words from the book of Ephesians. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, seek, but even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.